This is Jewish Board Talk with Cherise Zifford, only on 101.9 High FM.
Daniel Bloch is the Executive Director of the Cape South African Jewish Board of Deputies. Last Wednesday evening, the Cape Board held their AGM, providing the community with feedback of events over the past 2 years. Daniel is my guest now to tell me more. Daniel, welcome and thanks so much for joining me.
Hi, Cherise. Always a pleasure to chat with you.
Daniel, firstly, congratulations on what was a very wonderful evening.
Thank you. Yes, I mean, it was great. It's always good when you get good food. You get a little whiskey, l'chaim as well. And it was well attended, and I think it was enjoyed. Our feedback's been it was a success and enjoyed by all. It was great that you were there with us.
I think, Daniel, all AGMs should start with a cocktail. I think cocktails and fairy lights are absolutely set the mood for a very successful AGM.
Well, AGMs are generally boring. I mean, come on, you talk about reports and that. So we tried to spice it up a little bit and make it a bit more interesting.
And it was. The truth is, Jewish communities around the world for the last 2 years have been going through quite a lot. And it's always good to reflect. And I think let's talk a little bit about the last 2 years for specifically the Cape Jewish community, Daniel.
Yeah, sure. Where to start now? So we've had quite a time. I think South Africa as a whole, but Cape Town seems to have been the hotspot over the last 2 years. It's far removed from, I think when I joined the board almost 4.5 years ago, I thought I'd be doing speeches at various functions and talking about how wonderful Cape Town is, which I still get to do. But we've had a delegation from Hamas visit us in Cape Town shortly after October the 7th. We've had the ANC's anti-Israel rhetoric flaming up. They refused to participate in our ENCA elections debate. We've had countless protests outside our Jewish community center in Gardens, in Seapoint. There's been motorcades. The online hatred has obviously spiraled. But despite all of that, since the elections last year, things have started to calm down. You know, there's less frequent protests. Even the numbers of the protesters have dropped quite radically. And even our government, I think I mentioned to you the other day, I went to a briefing with Ronald Lamola. There was one kafir by someone. And his first briefing, I think, Israel was on the cards for about 1 minute out of a two-hour session. And then they spoke proper foreign policy. So it's uncomfortable being Jewish, but Cape Town still seems to be a safe space for Jews compared with the rest of the world. And our community is living our Jewish way of life quite proudly.
Daniel, let's actually talk a little bit about the resilience of the Cape Town Jewish community and also the friends that we have in Cape Town. Because I think the images that came out right at the beginning, specifically on Seapoint, were clashes between the Jewish communities and also outside Parliament, clashes between the Christian communities who stand outside Parliament. But yet, we're still here. You know, the intimidation hasn't worked. But let's just look a little bit at that.
Yeah, so, I mean, we know the purpose of the protesters is to intimidate, to antagonize. They're looking for some physical altercation. But it's a minority. It really is. When you talk about Parliament, the group outside Parliament, it's a friend, Christian Zionist friends, they've been standing there for 25 years, waving Israeli flags. And they go there every Friday, 12 o'clock. Before they were alone, there was no one competing with them. And suddenly, I think in the last year and a half, another small group of anti-Israel activists stand outside there. And what's amazing as well, our Christian friends are singing Israeli songs, Hebrew songs, songs of peace. The others across the road are screaming death to Israel and death to Zionists and all the wonderful chants we've unfortunately become accustomed to. But the support in Cape Town, you're right, we have fantastic support from our non-Jewish friends and family, whether it's political parties, country and consulates, other faith-based organizations, other minority community groups. And it's great to have that support because I think it would be very difficult for the Jewish community if we didn't have friends from outside. So it's allowed us to be more resilient and live as proud Jews, proud Zionists, which is great in Cape Town.
And also, I mean, you and I both attended a conference, I think it was a year ago, by Nahum Goldman Fellowship, where we spoke about Jews in the tent and out the tent and, you know, the movement between the two, which is very fluid. And, you know, we're proud of the fact that we are an extremely heterogeneous community. Anecdotally, I would say that many Jews who were just outside the tent moved in. But it's also possible that some moved out. And particularly in Cape Town, you've had quite a robust discussions around Jews and Jewish identity. Do you want to share that with me?
Yeah. So I think, you know, when October the 7th happened, we had a couple of members of our community coming up to me that would have considered themselves, I mean, I know we talk about left and middle and right and up and down, etc. And they were left. And after the Hamas attacks, they moved more middle to right. Not that they think that the Israeli government is the best thing since sliced cheese and they'll follow them blindly, but they had a better connection with Israel, a better understanding. They saw what was happening. And likewise, like you're saying, we do have a minority of members of the community that identify as Jewish that are 100% completely left field. It's not about criticizing Israel. You can criticize Israel. And we put that, you know, as a board, that's our message. You want to criticize Israel? Go ahead. We criticize the ANC here. It's great. But when you are going to be a Jewish person standing outside a synagogue, standing outside a shul, when someone stands outside my office as a Jewish person saying, Daniel, you're a Zionist, death to Zionists, we should torture and murder all Zionists and get rid of them off the face of the planet. Sure, like I said the other night, I'm not going to exactly have a cup of tea with the person and ask them when they're coming for me. And that's a red line. But it's a small group, Charisse. It's by their own numbers, it's probably well less than 1% of the overall Jewish community.
In fact,
not
I think
to discount that. People are conflicted.
Yeah.
They've got questions about what's happening. But not every single, that's the small leadership group that want to call for Hamas's victory and celebrate October the 7th, which is just, it's a red line we're not prepared to budge on.
And you talk about being less than 1%. I mean, I think we probably know all of them anyway. You know, that's how.
You could put a rugby team together probably, maybe. Yeah.
You also spoke a little bit about your court cases.
Yeah.
Cape Town has been pretty successful in following up. You know what, Daniel, can we just take a break and then we can be uninterrupted in the court cases?
Sure. Can I say one thing? We'll be back right after this break.
Yes.
This is Jewish Board Talk with Charisse Zifford, only on 101.9 High FM.
And I'm talking to Daniel Bloch, Executive Director of the Cape South African Jewish Board of Deputies. Just before the break, we were talking about the court cases that you've had and some of the successful results. Do you want to just share?
Yes. So we launched 4 cases in October last year, got quite a lot of media attention. And one of the cases did go to court in April this year. Actually, I think it was on my birthday. I was at the Equality Court, so that was quite an experience, having birthday cake outside the courthouse steps. And it was against a young individual called Thomas Tor, who was posting hateful content online, everything from kill the Jew to just the general anti-Semitic hate speech. It was quite an open and shut case. Also helped us that he threatened to kill the judge that was on the case and all the attorneys and the legal team. And we won that case. And, you know, it's not the victory. It's more the precedent. Mm. I think we covered that. You know, the national board, you've been involved. That Masuka case lasted 13 years. Yes, it was an apology, but that gave precedent for the use of terms around Hitler and the Nazis being hate speech. Tor used some of that as well, in which case it didn't take us 13 years because you'd done the hard work. So kudos there. So the judge found in our favor, Tor was guilty of hate speech. We did receive an apology. We did receive the payment of the $50,000 to the Holocaust Center, which is part of the remedies. He did spend a month in prison. He's back out now and he's starting up again, but there's more things happening behind the scenes where he's in contravention of breaches of law, etc. So he might find himself back in prison. But the beauty of that is when the people were served, they immediately took their foot off the gas and they stopped the online hatred against Jews. They've gone on about Israel and that, but they've stopped the Hitler comments, they stopped the blatant anti-Semitism. And that's the warning to send out to everybody is there is the risk of jail time. There is the risk of financial impunity. There is the risk of public, humiliation. Who wants to go online and be told that you are accused of hate speech? Mm. And for those that have a business, that have a family, etc., they have to really think long and hard about their future if they want to put that at risk for a few tweets and some likes and pokes. The other 3 cases, we're waiting on the court date. So we're probably going to go to court early next year for local politician Mehmet Dag, who actually spent 3 months in Polesmore now for hate speech and a defamation case against another organization, and then a local online influencer and someone at a protest. So, and there's more cases coming, Charisse. We've got a few more lined up. So we really are sending a warning out to people there. Have your say, criticize, but just leave out the hate speech.
The other legal case, I mean, and I've had Simon Salkas as a guest before, but let's talk a little bit about the protests outside Cape Union Mart, not specifically in that case, but also the kind of rhetoric and the hatred that is in public spaces that you have to deal with.
Yeah, so, you know, we keep saying the right to protest is enshrined in the Constitution. People can do so. There's nothing wrong with waving a Palestinian flag, shouting Free Palestine, etc. But to stand outside a person's business, to stand outside a place of worship and a school, chanting death to another human being. Now, as I said earlier, death, Daniel's a Zionist, death to Zionists. I take that as a threat against my life. I don't take that as political freedom of expression. Can you imagine if I went outside a mosque screaming death to Hamas and all their supporters? I mean, I'd be on the front page of IRL probably. So, you know, those are things that we are discussing with the city of Cape Town, with SAPS, law enforcement. We're looking at all legal options. And it clearly states the Constitution. You have a right to protest as long as it doesn't incite violence and as long as it doesn't include hate speech. And that's why, to their credit in Cape Town, SAPS and law enforcement have made some arrests. They have issued fines. And there are a variety of other legal cases aside from the board, cases of defamation and other against some of the anti-Israel organizations and the individual protesters. So we're going to make life difficult for them, and they're going to think twice before they come out protesting with all the hate speech and the incitement.
Well, I look forward to my next trip to Cape Town. I know we've got a lot of things planned. We met, was it yesterday morning, with a whole agenda of exciting things that need to be done and fights to fight and media to meet. Thank you very much for joining me and being my guest. And again, congratulations on what was a very successful AGM and I think a community that you're taking along with you.
Thanks so much, Charisse,
the difficulties.
And have a good Shabbos.
It's a good Shabbos and good Yom Tov.
And Shana Tova to you and everyone else out there.
Thank you.
Enjoy the weekend. Thanks.
Thank you. That was my colleague, Daniel Bloch, Executive Director of the Cape South African Jewish Board of Deputies. Before I say goodbye, let me tell you about the following. Discover the delightful symphonies of flavors at Friends Bakery in Sandringham. Every Friday, indulge in fresh, baked, flavored challahs like za'atar, homemade and classic loaves, all perfect for Shabbat. Try the Friends Bakery new pretzel challah. You'll be a fan for life. For a limited time, enjoy free taster samples when you purchase your challah. Place your order easily via WhatsApp on 076-108-0085 and taste the difference that has everyone's taste buds buzzing. Visit Friends Bakery in Sandringham today and treat your taste buds to something extraordinary. Thanks to all of you for joining me. Thanks to Craig for putting the show together. If there's anything you'd like to comment on, you're always welcome to send me an email on charisse@sajbd.org. If you'd like to know what the board is doing, please check out our social media pages. Otherwise, until next week, I wish you both Shabbat Shalom and Shana Tova Umatukah.